If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then He said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then He said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Hallelujah. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. Title of my message today is simply "Dry Bones." Dry bones. The passage before us finds the prophet Ezekiel along with the nation of Israel in captivity. Ezekiel never thought he would be ministering in such a situation, but here he finds himself. And God transports him to a valley filled with dry bones. Bones, we know, are remnants of a life that once was. And they'd been out in the sun so long in the valley that they turned completely dry. That takes a while. This was the picture of death into which God transported Ezekiel to show him something. It was a dry and arid place. This morning, let me ask you a question, church. In your spirit, man, on the inside, you ever feel dry? Come on, it's just us here. Yes. Ever feel dry in your spirit? Yes. Oh, you love the Lord and you're a child of His, but man, you're missing that vitality. You're missing that enthusiasm. You're missing that. A flow of the Spirit in your life, and you go through the motions, you come to church, you go through the routines, and but you just don't feel the vitality and the life, and there's a dryness to your spirit. I think we all experience that. The problem is when we allow ourselves to stay in that condition. God never, as I've said many times, shortchanges us of anything, does He? Does He? God gives us everything we need, Peter said, for life and godliness. It's not God's fault that we're in a dry place. But there's something that can be done about it. You may be here today And you see, we can go through the motions. We can raise our hands. We can clap our hands. We can sing the songs. We can have a smile on our face. We can even nod our head in agreement as the preacher preaches on Sunday morning. But we can still be in a dry place. God wants to stir us this morning. I'm not assuming anything. I'm not speaking for anyone. But if you're here today, you're on fire for God, man, and you just feel that life and vitality, praise God. Keep walking in it. And keep praying for those who may be in a dry place. But if you're here today and you feel a dryness in your spirit, you don't feel the vitality, you don't feel the life, you don't feel the enthusiasm in your walk with God and serving God and in being what He wants you to be, this morning, I want us to look from this passage in Ezekiel 37 and see a threefold restoration that God wants to have take place in our lives. But it's up to us this morning. It's up to you. It's up to me whether or not we remain in a valley of dry bones, so to speak, in our spiritual walk, or whether there is a renewal, a restoration, whatever you want to call it, whether we get to that place of vitality and life in the Spirit. Threefold restoration that takes place when we're in a dry place. The first is this, and it all comes from God. God's Word makes us whole. God's Word makes us whole, and this speaks to structure in our lives. These weren't whole skeletons. And by the way, our culture glorifies death. Doesn't it? Our culture glorifies death. To many, abortion is a sacrament, a sacred right. And they'll fight to the death any who challenge what amounts to the murdering of the unborn. We see t-shirts and symbols of skeletons glorifying death. Can I tell you something? I want to speak especially to our young people. Don't be seduced by the culture around you. Don't glorify death. Don't have posters and t-shirts and items with symbols of skeletons and things that glorify death. That's God is a God of life. And to glorify the culture of death is not what a godly young man or young woman or person of any age should be doing. Take that for what it's worth. But here in this valley, there were scattered bones, dry bones. You know, sometimes, sadly, there are gruesome discoveries in places of skeletons or pieces of skeletons, dry bones just scattered or discovered, buried in a place. And when we hear about those discoveries in the news or see them dramatized on TV or in the movies, we immediately know that some tragedy, probably some crime, or at the very least, some tragedy has occurred that has brought about an untimely death. And the bones are dry, and they're just remnants of a life. Sometimes our spiritual state, even though we love God, even though we belong to Him, sometimes it's a remnant of the vitality that used to be. And as Ezekiel finds himself in this valley of dry bones, the Lord speaks to him and says in verse 4, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And he begins to prophesy, to speak the word of God to these dry bones. Now that sounds foolish on the surface, right? Dry bones, are, as I just said, they speak of death. They can't hear anything. But these dry bones heard the word of the Lord. And Ezekiel said, as he spoke the word of God to these dry bones, something dramatic happened. He said he heard a rattling sound, and it wasn't a rattlesnake. He heard a rattling sound. A click, 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 as bone began to be knit to bone. And the bones came together. And the scripture says bone was attached to bone, and then tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. These bodies began to be reconstituted, reformed, and put back together. And it was because of the word of the Lord that said, dry bones, come together, come back, and form into a structure and be whole. And that, to me, is a picture of the fact that it's the Word of God, the eternal, unchangeable, divine Word of the living God that makes us whole. Church, when we order our lives around the Word of God that we have available to us, when we order our steps according to the Word of God, we find that we have a structure that we need. You see, without the truth of the Word of God, without the principles of the Word of God being lived out in our lives, our life is falling apart. We don't know how to live without the Word of God. We don't know how to treat one another. I said before that the men's conference talked to the men in part about being better husbands and better wives. That was out of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that makes us whole. It's the principles of God's Word that bring structure to our lives. And I can guarantee you that for every believer, if there are areas of your life where you just can't seem to get it together, again, we're being honest here, at least with ourselves and God, if not one another. Amen? You say, man, this area of my life, it just doesn't seem to come together. I would respectfully ask you, does the Word of God come to bear on that area of your life? Are you ordering your finances according to the Word of God? Are you tithing to the local church? Say, Pastor Tim, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford, as my dad drummed into his three sons, you can't afford not to tithe. Thank you for that loan, amen. God will bless the 90% that's left far above the 100% that you want to spend on yourself or you feel like you need. It's the Word of God that will help keep our marriages whole. Word of God will help you to be a better husband and wife and father and mother and brother and sister, son or daughter. It's the Word of God. It's the principles of purity that we find in the Word of God that will keep us pure, that will keep our lives together. The Word of God speaks to our purity. It speaks to our integrity. It speaks to our relationship. It speaks to every area of human life. Some of us call ourselves Christians, but we play fast and loose with the truth. Well, I'm in a little bit of a tight spot. God will understand if I just fudge a little bit on the truth. No, He won't. Because the Word says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You see, and there are so many areas of God's Word. And we have to be careful. I'm speaking to myself as much as I am to you. We have to be careful of taking parts of the Word of God as if they're optional. They're not, church. When the Word of God says to love your enemies, it means to love your enemies. When it says to do good to those who despitefully use you, it means exactly that. It doesn't mean to get even. It means to shower them with love. They don't deserve it. Neither did you, but God loved you. And it is incumbent upon every one of us. I'm saying this in love, church. It is incumbent upon every one of us to do an inventory of our lives and say, where does my life fall short of the principles of the Word of God? What changes do I make to come into alignment with the eternal, unchanging Word of the living God? Gypsy Smith told of a man who said he received no inspiration from the Bible, although he had gone through it, quote, several times. Her reply was, just let it go through you once and then you'll tell a different story. An unknown writer said the book This book, meaning the Bible, is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ, yes, to glory itself for eternity. That's the word of God, church. Psalm 119, 101 and following says this: I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will never forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, excuse me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Church, we need to align ourselves with God's word. I've shared this before. I was going to preach a sermon one Sunday morning. It was early in the Sunday morning. God said to me, you can't preach that. I said, God, you gave me the sermon to preach this morning. He said, you can't preach that in your current state. You're preaching about things. You need to make some things right. I had to make a couple of early morning phone calls and make things right with people before I could stand up in the pulpit and preach God's word. Because God's word matters. Church, I respectfully again ask you, take an honest look at your life. There are areas where you feel disjointed and things are just not flowing in your life the way they need to. Do an inventory. Make hard decisions. I know change is hard. It's difficult to not just go the path of least resistance. But there is something valuable in making a decision to say, I am going to follow the word of God. I don't care what it costs me financially. I don't care what it costs me in relationships. I don't care what it costs me in comfort and ease. I don't care what it costs me in my reputation. I'm going to follow the word of God no matter what it costs me. I'm going to bring structure and wholeness to my life. The word of God makes us whole. Second thing we need to understand from this valley of dry bones is that not only does the word of God make us whole, but God's Spirit gives us life. God's Spirit gives us life. It says here in verse number 9, Ezekiel says, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. The latter part of verse 8, I should say this, tendons and flesh appeared on them, the skeleton, the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Son of man, say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, four winds, O breath, and blow, breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. The Spirit gives life. This speaks of vitality. The Word of God, as I said, gives structure to our lives. When we order our lives according to the Word of God, when we practice integrity, for example, makes things a whole lot easier. I don't have to remember what I told this person, what I just told this person. I just tell the truth all the time, and it works. See, that's structure. But there are many, hear me now, there are many good Christians who do their best to order their life according to the Word of God, and they practice the principles in God's Word to the best they can, as best they understand them. But they're lacking a vitality, a life. And that life, that vitality comes from the Spirit of God. You see, the first step is to align ourselves with God's Word and practice the principles and live our life according to God's Word. But added to that is the Spirit of the living God. It's the Spirit that gives life. God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. The word breath or wind, all the word spirit, they all come from the same word in the original. Wind in Scripture, Old and New Testament, both are symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And we know that the great wind of God was unleashed on the day of Pentecost, hallelujah, in Acts 4, when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, with the initial physical evidence of speaking in other tongues. It's the Spirit that gives life. It's the Spirit that gives vitality. There's just something. If following after God's Word brings a measure of life, having the Spirit of God flow through us is like spiritual life on spiritual steroids. Hallelujah. And that's a good thing. It's the Spirit that gives life. And church, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, when we are flowing and moving in the Spirit of God, the Scripture says, Jesus said that signs would follow believers who are full of the Spirit of God. Did you know that? Jesus said we could do the things that Jesus did. Oh, that's just for pastors and evangelists. That's just for preachers. No, it's not. Did you know that you can pray for the sick and they can be healed? Did you know that God can give you a prophetic word to minister life to somebody who needs to hear it? You and me. All of us. God wants to move upon us and through us by His Holy Spirit today. Let me encourage you, if you haven't received the fullness of the Holy Spirit through the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that God has that wonderful experience for you, for all believers. And by the way, I have some exciting news to share with you about that. How many were here in 2010 when Tim and Rochelle Enloe were with us for the Holy Spirit conference? Some of you were. Good friend of mine, Tim Enloe, God uses him like no one else I know, powerfully, not only to teach and to make very, very plain and very simple the teaching from God's Word on the baptism and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, but God uses him to lead people into receiving that experience. God does miracles in His services. He's had blind eyes open. He's had deaf ears open. God uses him powerfully. And he was with us in 2010. He's going to be with us next May. And we're going to have a great revival, a four-day revival. We're going to pack this place out. God's going to do miracles. God's going to fill people with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. You pray with me about that, okay? That's going to be a landmark few days here in the history of our church. But we don't have to wait till then. God's Spirit is flowing. Hallelujah. God wants to empower us. If you're here, you've never received that experience. God has that experience. You just be seeking Him for it. You just be open to it. You just say, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and then allow that Spirit to well up within you. He'll speak through you in a language you haven't learned. As you give Him the freedom, as you allow Him to, as you speak, He will give you the utterance to speak. And it's not just about tongues, it's about power. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 1, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He will give you power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. How many want power? You say, well, I already witnessed. That's wonderful. I don't discount what God does through any of us, but God wants to empower us to do it even better. You ever have that experience, that sad experience when you go to start your engine? Instead of hearing that welcome purr of your engine, you hear something like click, click, click. No fun, is it? I have a problem. And of course, it's never when you're home. You're always far from home, right? A problem. Well, we've all had that, and we've all had battery, alternator, whatever it is, problems. But you know, sometimes it's not as bad as it sounds. I had a time where, I remember one time I was turning click, click, oh, what's the problem now? what I didn't realize at the moment, but I found out later after much trial and error, I didn't have a bad battery. I didn't have a bad alternator. I didn't have anything mechanically bad. I had a loose cable on my battery. You ever had that happen? Sometimes a cable gets loose and there's no connection. There's no power flowing through. And you just tighten up that cable and boy, you turn that key, that engine just purrs. Thank God it was just a loose cable. You know, sometimes spiritually, I think we need to check our cables. We need to check our connection. Lord God, I want your Holy Spirit to flow through me. I want the breath of God. I want the Spirit of the living God to flow through me. You see, obeying the Word of God, bringing structure to our lives, that is, you know, this book is our manual. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many of us, we get something new and we see those dreaded words, some assembly required, you know. How many of us look at the manual and for operation? That was what the one gentleman was talking about at the men's conference. Went through a whole big thing with this monstrous machine, found out in the end it was just unplugged. but we order our lives according to the Word of God. That's the natural. When the Spirit of God flows through us, hallelujah, that's the supernatural. God has ordained that His people should flow in the supernatural. Did you know that? And there are many good, godly, and I'm not being critical, good, godly Christians who are doing their best to live for the Lord. And God loves them and God blesses them. But God has something more for them. God wants to fill them with His Holy Spirit. God wants to use them in power and supernaturally use them to advance His kingdom. I don't know about you, but I want it all. Do you want it all? We satisfy ourselves with so little of what God has for us. Church, we need to have it all. It's the Spirit that gives life. The Scripture says it, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We sing songs like, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and fill my heart, as we sang this morning. Those aren't just words, church. At least they shouldn't be. Holy Spirit, bring vitality to my life. Lord, I want to walk with you, Holy Spirit. Dr. David Youngie Cho, the pastor of the world's largest church, I've told you this before, when he gets up to preach a sermon, he says, come on, Holy Spirit, let's preach. He says, Holy Spirit, you're the senior partner, I'm the junior partner, but let's go up together to that pulpit and let's preach. Hallelujah. What would it be like if we said, Holy Spirit, let's go into that meeting at work tomorrow? Holy Spirit, let's tackle this difficult problem, this thorny issue that I don't have the answers for. Holy Spirit, let's tackle that together. When we avail ourselves of the power of God the Spirit, notice I said God the Spirit. Holy Spirit is not an it. He is not a force. He is God the Holy Spirit. And when we invoke God the Holy Spirit, when we allow Him to flow through us, He will help us with our problems. He will bring insight and wisdom that can come from nowhere on earth. He will move through us. He will use us to minister life to those who so desperately need it. Like a respirator for those who physically can't breathe on their own, the power of the Holy Spirit is breath and life for those of us who so desperately need His power. The Word of God makes us whole. The Spirit of God gives us life. Thirdly, this morning, God's vision brings us hope. God's vision brings us hope. Verse 11, then He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bodies are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. God was revealing to Ezekiel that these bones were a picture of the exiled nation of Israel. And he said, our bones are dried up. He said, our hope, they said, God pictured them as saying, our hope is gone. Again, I refer to the men's conference. Dave Reaver talked about that. He said, the last line of defense against, for people taking their own lives, the last line of defense is hope. When you lose your hope, you've lost everything. Church, when we look at the things going on in the world. And I'm not suggesting we shouldn't be aware. But when we look at, in many ways, at the state of our nation, the state of our world, we can lose hope. We can say this nation, this world is so fragmented, is so torn apart, that and darkness seems to rule and reign. We can lose all hope. But God has an antidote to a loss of hope. He says, therefore, it says to Ezekiel, therefore, prophesy and say to them, to God's people, Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves, hallelujah, and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. God has a vision for his people. God has a vision for this world. And when God imparts his vision to us, it gives us hope for the future. Hallelujah. Listen, you may be in a tough situation right now. You may be in a tight spot. You may be in a place where it seems like the situation is hopeless. But I want you to know, your heavenly Father has a vision for you. He has a plan for you. He has a future for you. And if you will allow him to give you a glimpse of that future, he will give you hope for the future, and you will find out that you can have a future in him. Hallelujah. God wanted to convey to Abraham in his old age. He was old. His wife was old. They were way beyond childbearing years, had no natural children. God said to Abraham, Abraham, look at the, on a starry night, look at the stars in the sky. Thousands, tens of thousands of stars. God said, Abraham, so shall your descendants be. Abraham, I'm not done with you. What is impossible with man, hallelujah, is possible with God. Do we believe that, church? Say that with me. What's impossible with man is possible with God. Now like you mean it. What's impossible with man is possible with God. One more time. What's impossible with man is possible with God. Israel's situation seemed hopeless. They were scattered. They were in exile. God said, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to, as it were, open up your graves. I'm going to take you back. I'm going to settle you in your own land. I'm going to do the impossible. That's my vision. Your vision may be clouded. Your vision may be, have come apart because of your circumstances. God says, I have a vision for you, and I'm going to give you a hope. The devil was having a yard sale. Did you know the devil has yard sales? Was selling his tools. They were marked with different prices. There was hatred, jealousy, deceit, lying, and pride. They were all quite expensive. But over to the side of the yard, there on a display, there was a tool that was most obviously more worn than any of the other tools. It was also the most expensive item in his yard sale. It was labeled in big letters, discouragement. When the devil was asked, he said, this is more useful to me than any other tool. When I can't bring down my victims with any of the rest of these tools, I use discouragement because so few people realize that it belongs to me. The enemy of our souls is never happier than when he sees the people of God giving in to despair and discouragement and hopelessness. There is no greater state of hopelessness than of man without Christ. The philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre said this, man can count on no one but himself. He is alone, abandoned on earth in the midst of his infinite responsibilities, without help, with no other aim than the one he sets himself, with no other destiny than the one he forges for himself on this earth. What a pack of lies that is. Because when we have God, we have a vision. We have hope for the future. You see, God says in the valley of dry bones, this is the situation. This is the bleakness in which you find yourself. But then God says this. This is what I am going to do. This is what your future, people of God, looks like to me. You see, as I said a moment ago, our vision can become clouded over. Well, I had big hopes, I had big dreams, but then life happened. Oh, but God doesn't become discouraged. God's vision for us doesn't dim. He says, this is what I am going to do. And God would say to you today, if you're discouraged, if you don't have much hope for your future, God says this, why don't you see what I want to do in your life? Why don't you get a glimpse of my vision for your future? Psalm 42:11 says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. A man approached a Little League baseball game one afternoon. He asked the boy in the dugout what the score was. The boy responded, we're losing 18 to nothing. Boy, the man said, I bet you're discouraged. The kid said, why should I be discouraged? We haven't even gotten up to bat yet. You may feel like you're down 18 to nothing. Let me tell you this. We're just getting up to bat. Hallelujah. God is going to hit it out of the park for us. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Don't get mired in hopelessness. God has a plan for you. God has a vision for your life. God has a future for you, and he will not leave you alone. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you to circumstance, but he will watch over his vision for your life to perform it. He will deliver you to your destiny. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what our circumstances are. Doesn't matter what the experts say. It doesn't matter how we feel. What matters is that God has a plan for us. He's not finished with you, church. He's not finished with you, not by a long shot. Be encouraged today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So bring this message to a close as the praise team comes up to join me. Hallelujah. We may feel like we're dry bones. We may feel like our experience is dried up. Understand that it's the Word of God that brings structure to our lives. It's the Word of God that makes us whole. And each of us periodically need to do an inventory. Where does my life not line up with God's Word? In my marriage, in my relationships, in my finances, in my thought life, in my habits, where does it not line up? I need to make the decision, whatever it costs me, however inconvenient, whatever seeming problems may arise from it, I am going to structure my life to the best of my ability, every area of my life, according to the Word of God, and what's not in alignment, I'm going to bring it in alignment. And it's not easy, and the enemy will challenge you. I'm going to bring it in alignment. What is there in your life that's not in alignment with God's Word? You don't need anyone to tell you. You don't need anyone to point the finger. You know, I know, we know what's not in alignment with God's Word. And we just kind of shift it to the back of our minds. It's okay. Nobody's perfect. What do we need to bring into alignment with God's Word? That'll bring structure. That'll bring wholeness. Am I lacking the vitality of the Spirit of God, God's Holy Spirit? We need to be hungry for the Spirit of God. We need to seek for the Holy Spirit to flow through us. Holy Spirit, flow through me. Fill me to overflowing. It's the Spirit that draws us to Christ. Every Christian has the Spirit of God in him, because it's the Spirit of God that draws us to Christ. And the Holy Spirit will work in our lives. But God wants to fill us to overflowing. Hallelujah. It's the Spirit. We need to say, Lord, I don't just want to do the right things. I want to move in the supernatural. I want to flow by your Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives us life, and it's vision from God that gives us hope for the future. No matter what the circumstance looks like, no matter what others say, no matter how we feel, God has a vision, a plan, and a future for us. And we know that God fulfilled his word because he took Israel and he brought them back to their homeland and he resettled them there. Hallelujah. And they're there to this day. Hallelujah. Because God keeps his promises. Because God fulfills his word. Because God is not a man that he should lie. Hallelujah.